Quick announcement, too, for those of you who are here. In the back, there are gift bags from the church for every family. So your names are on the bag. So if you go back and find your name, take your bag and take it home and enjoy that with your family. Okay? Okay? All right. Just making sure you all heard me. All right. So here you go. Yeah, short one. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the half. I'm the half. All right. So this morning's Advent reading is actually going to be taken from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So as we light the fourth Advent candle this morning, let's thank God for the wonder of Christmas. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that in him and through him we have everything that we need. And Lord, we just pray that as we worship this morning, you would be honored and glorified in all we say and all we do. Lord, may the wonder of Christmas continue to fill our hearts and our minds, so that we might continue to give praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
One night in a stable in Bethlehem town, the King of all kings from heaven came down. He was born of a virgin, like the prophets foretold. Came to this incursive from a city of gold. He in no ground to prove he was king, no title or deed to show he owns everything. The heavens proclaim his majesty. He's the Ancient of Days, the King of Eternity.
been a king.
Never been a king
with a name like his name.
Like his name.
He gave sight to the blind.
Sight to the blind.
And he healed the lame.
He healed the lame.
Now his kingdom extends.
Kingdom extends.
Through infinity.
Infinity.
But the reason he came was to save you and me. Oh,
he needed no crown to prove he was king. No title or deed to show you everything. Of everything
the
heavens proclaim his majesty. He's the Ancient of Days, the King of Eternity.
Oh,
he's the Ancient of Days, the King of Eternity.
Thank you, Quartet. That was great. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. Our scripture reading from there, we're going to be reading the 9th verse through the 14th verse as our scripture reading. So I'll ask you, please, to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word as we read it together. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love, and thank you that you have given us everything that we need, Lord, to live the life you want us to live. I pray that you will use this time together to open our eyes to what your word has to say to us. I pray that you would use this time to open our hearts, to allow Christ to truly come in and change the things in us that need to be changed so that we might truly be your disciples, so that we might truly be your sons and your daughters. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth as I speak them today would be honoring and glorifying to you, that they would be yours and not my own. I pray this all in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's an old children's book called Because a Little Bug Went Ka-Choo. How many of you have heard of this title? All my family has. Not too many others. Okay, then. This book, it tells the story what happened when one little bug had to sneeze. I want to share it with you. So it's about 3.5-4 minutes long. So hang in there. And we're going to hear it now.
You may not believe it, but here's how it happened. One fine summer morning, a little bug sneezed. Because of that sneeze, a little seed dropped. Because that seed dropped, a worm got hit.
Ow!
because he got hit, that worm got mad. Because he got mad, he kicked a tree. Because of that kick, a coconut dropped. Because that nut dropped, a turtle got bopped. Because he got bopped, that turtle named Jake fell on his back with a splash in the lake. Because of that splash, a hen got wet. Because she got wet, that hen got mad. Because she got mad, that hen kicked a bucket. Because of that kick, the bucket went up. Because it went up, the bucket came down. Because it came down, it hit Farmer Brown. Bucket got stuck on his head. Because it got stuck, Farmer Brown phoned for help. Because of his phone call, policemen came speeding. Because they were speeding, they hit a big stone. So one policeman flew up all alone. Because he flew up, he had to come down. And because he came down on the boat Mary Lou, and because he hit hard, he went right on through. He made a big hole in the boat Mary Lou. Because of that hole, the boat started to sink. And because it was sinking, well, what do you think? Everyone started to yell. And Mrs. Brown called on the phone for more help. Because of her phone call, more help came back. They tied a strong rope to Mary Lou's back. And because of that rope, the boat didn't go down. But it had to be fixed, so they started for town. Because they went there, it's true, I'm afraid, they ran right into a circus parade. And that started something they'll never forget. As far as I know, it's going on yet. Believe me, it's true. Because, just because, a small bug went ka-choo.
Childhood. It's great, isn't it? Now, I know it's a pretty strange way to start a sermon on the future. But can you see what this story has to tell us? It tells us, in an admittedly unique way, that even the smallest of decisions can have devastating consequences. So it is with the life of Ebenezer Scrooge, the one we've been looking at these past weeks. The choices of his life set things in motion that had ripple effects all throughout his life and the lives of all those who are around him. And as we've talked over the past 2 weeks regarding the past and the present, we've learned, or at least I hope we've learned, that those things that have happened in our past don't necessarily have to shape who we are. In this next clip we're going to watch, we once again see Bob Cratchit show us all what it means to look at things in the proper light.
Must be some confusion. Your fellow spirits brought me here earlier. Very well. You're devilish hard to have a conversation with.
Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.
Colour hurts my eyes. Better now. This work makes my eyes red. And I wouldn't show red eyes to your father when he comes home. Not for the world. Must be nearly his time.
Pass it, rather. I think he walks slower than he used to these last few evenings, Mother.
Yes, I've seen him walk homeless. With tiny tomb on his shoulders, very fast indeed.
And so have I.
And so have I.
And so have I.
He was very light to carry. Your father loved him so. There was no trouble. No trouble. There is your father now.
Hello, my dear ones.
Hello, Father.
You're late. We were worried about you.
I'm glad you're home, Father.
I am, too.
Oh, you've become quite a little harmful. The reason that I'm late is because I walked by there today.
Today?
I couldn't keep away. It's so quiet and green. You shall see it on Sunday. We shall all go on Sunday. I promised him that every Sunday I would walk. My little child. My little, little child.
Father, please don't grieve so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have all of you. A blessing to be thankful for. Do you know who I saw in the street today? Mr. Scrooge's nephew, Fred, and greeted me in his usual cheerful way. And he saw that I was a little sad. He asked me what was distressing me. When I told him, he said that he was heartily sorry.
Brother. Timmy's part of all of us. But for his sake, we must go on living. So long as we love one another, he will always be alive.
Yes, of course, my dear. But however and whenever we are part from one another, I'm sure that none of us will ever forget poor Tiny Tim.
No, never,
never,
never.
And when we recollect how patient he was, and how mild, although he was but a little, little child, I'm sure that we will not easily quarrel among ourselves.
I am a happy man. I am a truly happy man.
The things that happened to Bob didn't make him bitter and angry and mean. Instead, he tried to remember all of the things that he had and all of the things that he was, and it made him happy. Scrooge, on the other hand, had no intention of changing, right? He just wanted to go on in his usual manner, that is, until his moment of truth, when reality struck him full in the face and he saw, as we will see here, that his decisions today do indeed shape what happens tomorrow.
Courses will foreshadow certain ends. I accept it. But if those courses be departed from, the ends must change. Tell me that is so by what you show me. I will not be the man I must have been but for this visitation. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Good spirit, your nature intercedes for me and pities me. Say that I may change these things by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Tell me. Tell me that I may sponge away the writing on this stone. Spare me. Spare me.
So the shadows of the future can be changed. How do we change them? The first thing we need to do is be observant. If you're taking notes, we're going to be looking at a number of different passages. So write these down. We begin how with being observant. How are we observant? Well, the first thing in order to be observant is that we need to watch. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus gives us some very good advice here. Listen to what he says in these verses, starting in verse 34. He says this: "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on those, all those who live on the face of the whole earth, but always be on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Jesus is warning his disciples here that in the end times, we need to be watchful. We need to have our eyes open. We need to be watching what's going on around us so that we don't fall trap or prey to what's going on in the world. But not only do we need to watch, we also need to look. John 4, verses 28 through 39. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman, he has just talked to the woman at the well, and she leaves him in verse 28, leaving her water jar. The woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him some food?" And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open up your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap where you have not what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So we need to open our eyes. We need to look and see that the fields are ripe for harvest. We also need to look and see where we are in this life. We also need to listen. Turn to Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, or just, you know, write these down and look at them later. I want you to look at them because I want you to know that I'm not making this up, right? In chapter 16 and verse 19, verse 19. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen," and Jesus is speaking here, "and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores." The time came when the beggar died, and angels carried him to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, and anyone, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead."
Wow.
Folks, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to listen to what God is telling us. Someone has risen from the dead, and He continues to speak to us today through His Word. And we need to listen. Part of being observant is that we watch, we look, we listen, but we also need to understand. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, it talks about the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Brothers and sisters, we need men of Issachar in the church today. Because there are things happening in our world, and we're going to talk about them in a little bit. There are things happening that we don't understand. And far too many of us as believers are just hopping on the bandwagon, willy-nilly, not really understanding what it is we're so excited about. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. But we need to be observant. This is all a part of being observant. If we want to change our future, we have to open our eyes. We have to look. We have to watch. We have to listen. We have to understand. But not only do we need to be observant, we also need to be obedient. John 15, in our scripture reading, we saw that Jesus said, your obedience will bring you joy. Will not only bring you joy, but will bring your Heavenly Father joy. It will bring Jesus joy when you are obedient to His commands. And what was His command in that passage? Do you remember what we read? "This is my command that you what?" Okay. I know there are a few of you here, but I also know that you read it with me, so you know this. It's to love. One command. "This is the command that I give you, to love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another." And look, it wasn't a thing where Jesus was saying, "Okay, Peter, you love Andrew because he's your brother, and John, you love James because he's your brother, and then Bartholomew, you love Matthew," and He wasn't pairing them off. He was saying, all of you need to love all of everybody else. And it's not something that is a suggestion. It is a command. Jesus says, "This is my command. This is my directive. This is my order that you love one another. That you put your heart and your soul and your own preferences and your own needs and your own wants aside, and you love one another." Why is this so important? Well, John 13, 34 and 35 tells us it's important because that obedience to love one another shows the world that we are His disciples. It shows the world that we're His disciples, which moves very nicely into the third way in which we change the future. Be observant, be obedient, and be obvious. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16 say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. They put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. And then Jesus says this in verse 16. So let your light shine before men or the world, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we are the light of the world, and we need to let that light shine. We need to let that light out. And again, one of the best ways to do that is to love one another. Because that's how we prove to the world that we are truly Christ's disciples. Do you remember our memory verse for this series? Nobody. Great. It is First Corinthians 5:17. Let's say it together. Ha 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 ha. Therefore, what? 2 Corinthians 5:17, my bad. I'm sorry? 2 Corinthians, thank you. Let's say it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That was pathetic. Let's try it again. I'll put the words up so you can say it with me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Friends, if we are in Christ, if we are truly in Christ, we are new. This Christmas, you're going to get a lot of new stuff, right? And new stuff is better than old stuff. You'll get a new whatever it is you wanted, and you'll look at it and you'll go, wow, this is great. I can't wait to use it, right? Well, in Christ, every one of us is made new. We have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit within us, to be able to be observant, to watch, to look, to listen, to understand. We have the ability to be obedient. We have the ability to be obvious to this world. We are able to see what's going on around us, to love those who are hurting and show the love to them and show that love to them in ways that will shine the light of Christ's love to the world. So why is this not happening more? Why don't we see the love of God on display in our world today? Why don't we see it every day in our homes, our offices, businesses, communities, neighborhoods, churches, schools, and other places that we go? I think that it's at this time of year, that it tends to become one of the most mean and ornery and nasty times of year. I see more people shoving and vying for their place in line for whatever it is they're looking for or wherever it is they're going than at any other time of year. Why is it, if we are to give and receive love at Christmas time, that we have more anxiety, more suicide, more depression, more worry than any other time of year? I believe that we can change our Christmas futures if we're willing to live as Christ commands us in the present. So here is the challenge. You are a new creation. Live like it. Live like it. Live like you've been made new. Live like God has done something in your life to change you. Live as if the things that the Scriptures say about you are actually true. Now, having said that, I want to address something that's not necessarily Christmas related, but it's been on my heart as I was preparing this this message as I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit continued to speak to my heart and tell me that I need to talk to you about what's going on in our world today. And I typed it out, and so if it sounds like I'm reading it, I am, because I want to make sure that I say it right. Because I don't want to mess this up. Because I feel like this is very important. As I prayed even as late as yesterday and this morning about what to say about this, I was sensing the Lord warning me, wanting me to warn all of you that I feel that there is much, much more to this COVID vaccine than meets the eye. I know that I cannot tell you what to do, and that has to be your decision. But as we've said today, I want to remind you to be observant. Open your eyes. Look. Understand what's going on. This virus has a death rate that's a lot less than many other diseases, and yet this particular one is being singled out as more dangerous than all the others. We're also being told that this vaccine is going to take things back to normal and that all of us can begin to breathe easier and enjoy life once again. I'm sorry, but it just seems too good to be true to me. Furthermore, I challenge you to be obedient. Not obedient to me, not obedient to mankind, but obedient to God. Submit to the Holy Spirit's leading and to what God has said about your body and about who you are in Christ. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Don't be dependent on your own human reasoning or on the human reasoning of others, but on the leading of God, who will not always make sense, but will always be right. Finally, I reminded you to be obvious. We talked about being the light of the world, and the truth of the matter is that when things are the darkest, the light shines the brightest. And the brightest lights are going to be drawing attention no matter how right they are. John 1 tells us that when Jesus came to this world, He shone like a light in the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. That's worth an amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be easily hidden. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember that those who are persecuted for doing what is right will always be blessed by God, and those who seek to do what is right will never be put to shame by the Lord who loves them. This world may call us all kinds of names, like conspiracy theorist or Bible thumper, or even take away the things we hold most dear. But my friends, know this, they can never take away your salvation, and they cannot take away your eternity. The prince of this world, Satan, wants you to be scared. He wants you fearful. He wants you to be afraid of everything that's going on. He wants you to stop thinking and let everyone else tell you what to do, what to wear, what to put on your body, and what to put into your body. I believe He is behind all of this. And we must remember that when we have stood the test, we will be considered worthy of heaven by the God who rules all the world and all of eternity. And we are not considered worthy because we stand. We're considered worthy because of who we are in Christ, because we have placed our faith in Him. But as Revelation tells us, the time is coming when we must stand, and those who remain faithful to the end will be considered worthy of what it says there. So we're going to close today by singing some Christmas carols. And I hope they bring peace to your heart and joy to your soul. I hope that during the rest of your Christmas, you celebrate with the people you love and remember that God is always in control, and there will never be a time when He is not in control. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love and for your goodness. I thank you that in Christ we are new creations. We have been given new names. We've been given new thought processes. We've been given new ways to think and new ways to understand. And Lord, we pray that in the days and weeks to come, that we would continue to trust your word, to trust your spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give each one of us wisdom. And Lord, may we stand on the side of truth and the side of you, so that we might truly do the things that you want us to do, so that we might truly be like Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would come. That you would come quickly, that you would come to us, and that you would shine your light in us so that we might shine your light to the world. Stand with me as we sing. We'll start with O Come Emmanuel.
Oh, come thou day.
Continue to worship and praise you for what you do. And Lord, be with us as we continue to sing. Joy.
Sing it out, joy. Here we go. Joy.
Still have joy. I'm not going to need that anymore. How about okay, she keeps wanting to do this one. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and while shepherds kept their watching, for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a green down in a lonely manger, of a humble Christ was born, and God brought us salvation, that blessed Christmas born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yeah. Okay. My fingers are getting sore. We'll do this one as our last one.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Oh.
Lord, thank you so much that we can celebrate and we can have joy and we can have peace and we can have wonder and we can have your strength within us to do the things that you have called us to do. Lord, help us to continue to be obedient to you and listen to your Spirit as he leads. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will continue to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you for being with us today. Please don't forget to pick up your basket before you leave. God bless. Have a great day.